Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, running for Parliament and around the world.
I try to go for a run wherever I go. So in Ireland, I was in Ireland with the Prime Minister. I went for a run in Phoenix Park where we were staying. Wherever I go, including in Canada. It's just, you know what? It's such a nice way to actually figure out what the place is like.
Raising awareness and money in memory of a husband taken too soon.
In August, I signed up for the 5K. My son and myself and some of my friends ran the 5K with me. And then my friend said, hey, Rattle Me Bones for Ottawa Hospital is going on. Let's run the 10K. And I thought, oh, well, how hard is the 10K? Like, I have never run that far in my whole life. So I ran the 10K. And then Pancreatic Cancer came and asked me if I would be interested in putting a team together for Run for a Reason, which would be running in the Ottawa Race Weekend. And this was 8 years ago, and here I am 8 years later, still running, loving every minute of it.
And after 14 concussions, a hockey player turns to running.
You know, I wanted to make a change, and at that time, I had no physical symptoms anymore of my lingering concussion, so I knew it was more of just a mental battle and a motivation that I needed, and so I decided to throw in some runners and get going, and it became quite the journey it's been for the last, almost that 12 months or so.
On this edition of iRun Radio, Federal Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will talk to a woman running and raising money for cancer research in memory of her husband and a former hockey player who's running for the Concussion Legacy Foundation at Ottawa Race Weekend. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hello, sir. How's it going?
It's going great. Enjoying the long weekend, counting down to Ottawa Race Weekend, which is in 1 week. And we are going to be there. Of course, we always have a big presence at Ottawa Race Weekend. We have a booth. We're involved in all kinds of events. You're going to be running. I'm going to be running. We're going to hang out with lots of runners. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I can't wait. It's always my favorite weekend of the year.
Really?
Yeah. I got to say, there's no race that I've run in Canada with that kind of crowd support and that just puts the whole thing together where it just really feels like Canada's Boston. I mean, I really feel that way.
Are you going to do the marathon this year?
Yes, sir. Even though I'm sort of hobbling around a little bit and probably I would advise someone in my shoes to probably do the half instead of the marathon, but I feel like, ooh, it's the last one of the season. I'm just going to do it and I'm going to do it slow.
Why are you hobbling?
Because I played foot. I can always do this, that I can run forever and I have no problem, but I do anything else and I get it. Like if I go to the gym, I get injured. And I played football. And ever since I have this strange little tweak, but it's going to be totally fine. And no problem.
Okay. I hope you're all right.
I won't be able to race with you, but I'll be doing my best.
Yeah, well, I'll be starting at the back of the pack, of course. I'm doing the television coverage on Sunday morning for 3 hours, and then I'm going to walk over to the start line, and I'm going to run the marathon starting 3 hours after everybody else. And that's going to be kind of a neat thing to do anyway, and I was sort of excited about combining the television broadcast with the marathon, but then it also kind of rolled into the theme of my TEDx talk that I did a couple of months ago, which is about people in life who start at the back of the pack. So I'm using this to illustrate that point. And I've become involved with a group in Ottawa called Refugee 613, which is all about helping newcomers to Canada, making sure they are successfully integrated into our community. So there's a lot going on around this theme. And so I'll very proudly be running from the back of the pack to kind of make this point.
Oh, that's unbelievable. That's so great. That's such a cool thing. When's the last time you ran the Ottawa Marathon? I know you always do.
Yeah, I think it's probably 2012 was the last time I ran the Ottawa Marathon. I was the 4-hour pace bunny that year. And then since then, I think every year I've been doing the television coverage, which has meant that I couldn't run until last year when somebody said to me, well, the course is open for 7 hours and you're only on the television for 3 hours, so that still leaves you 4 hours to run the marathon. Why don't you do it? And, it's kind of in the spirit of guys like Dave McGillivray, the race director of the Boston Marathon, who waits until everybody else is done, and then he drives out to Hopkinton and runs the course. And there are other people who do things like that. So why not, right?
Exactly. Why not? You can, and you're going to put it back on the charity. And you know what we should do, too, is set up a laptop or something. Figure out the technology where at our booth at the Ottawa Marathon. We have a computer going, so I know folks can just watch it online, but it'll be neat if we can show the TED Talk somehow during race weekend at our iRun booth.
Sure, yeah. Or just we can just share a link with it. People can find it on my
Twitter
page or on Facebook. Yeah. Or just search it, TEDx Kanata, Mark Sutcliffe. It's as simple as that. So I hope people watch it. I think it is a good point, and I'm going to try to illustrate it again race weekend. And there are just so many great stories at Ottawa Race Weekend. That's the thing that I find so powerful. In fact, I've been talking to runners. We're going to have three more people on the show today who are participating in Ottawa Race Weekend, three more next week. And I could have kept going from there, right? There are just so many great stories.
Yeah.
We could have filled 10 editions of the podcast with runners who are running for charity, who have overcome illness, people who are running in memory of someone they've lost, people who have are running on one leg. I mean, it's just incredible, the stories among the thousands and thousands of people who are participating in this wonderful event.
Yeah, it's stirring. I know. It's just the best weekend of the best weekend of the year, and you get to see people sort of at their best.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
What I love about running, and I've said this many times, on race day, with the very small exception of the people at the very front of the pack, everybody can accomplish their goals on the same day, and we can all cheer for each other. You can make your goal. I can make my goal. Me making my goal doesn't cost you the chance at meeting your goal. That's, it's powerful.
Yeah, you always see, you know, and strangers become best friends. I mean, everybody's in the same soup, you know, you're all out there together, and it's just the nerves, you know, and it's just, you know, from the elite, the front of the pack people to all the way down to, you know, folks that you'll see when you're on doing your race, like, you know, everybody feels the same way. Everybody hurts at the same point. Everybody's like, ooh, I don't know if I can do it. And then everybody has that elation when we cross that finish line.
Absolutely. All right, Ben, have a great week. Rest that leg. Hope it's going to be okay. And we'll look forward to seeing you in Ottawa later this week when you're at the expo. I'll be there too. We'll be there right through the weekend, and then we'll be running on Sunday. Thanks, Ben.
All right, I appreciate it.
That's iRun's editor and general manager, Ben Kaplan. Coming up on the show today, we are going to talk to an assistant coach with the University of Ottawa hockey team who is running for concussion awareness at Ottawa Race Weekend. Very powerful story of a woman named Christina Walker. It's actually become a bit of a tradition that she's on this show with me every year. She lost her husband to pancreatic cancer. She's been running at Ottawa Race Weekend and raising money for research ever since. And coming up next, the Member of Parliament for Ottawa Centre and Canada's Environment and Climate Change Minister, Catherine McKenna. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa, and you can listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show anytime at iRun.ca. Just click on radio. Our first guest this week is the Federal Environment Minister and the MP for Ottawa Centre. She'll be running at Ottawa Race Weekend with her daughter, Catherine McKenna. Welcome to iRun Radio.
It's great to be joining you.
And, you know, I was thinking, I think the first time I ever met you was at the Hindenburg Centennial Run, a 5K race, and this was before you were a member of Parliament. It was during your long 2-year campaign to become a member of Parliament.
My campaign run, and then I really ran in that race.
Yeah,
part of my campaign.
Exactly.
That was great.
Yeah. So, how long have you been running? Because I know you started out as a competitive swimmer, right?
Yeah, I always, you know what, I always have to run. Especially right now, I travel so much that it's a great way to see a new place, but I just love running, and luckily living in the back of the Ottawa Centre, we have amazing places to run.
We do.
I love running along the canal and then to the Ottawa River. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the running that you've done before you were in politics. And as you mentioned, you know, if you're short on time and if you're traveling, it is a great way to stay fit because you can take it anywhere.
Yeah, well, so I'm not like you, Mark. I haven't run a marathon. The most I've run really is 10K races. But I actually just do it more for fun. I do swimming to compete. I still compete in swimming masters. But running is just something I love doing. I've actually taken to doing briefings when I go travel, that there's very little time. So I will say to my chief of staff, get your running shoes. You can, we can talk about what's going to happen today while we run. And so I've had a chance to run really around the world. And it's just great. You know what? There's nothing better than a run to kind of lift up your day.
Yeah.
Especially I have sometimes really long days, and I actually don't even mind getting up early to go for a run, because I think it just gets me in the right frame of mind.
Absolutely. So you actually get a briefing while you're running. Now, is your chief of staff okay with that?
luckily, he is very fit.
Okay.
because we were very lucky. Yeah, we're a good fit for each other, because he's quite happy to go for a run, too.
Yeah, well, that's good, because I think it was Peter McKay that I talked to a few years ago, and he said one time that he had to go for a run somewhere in another country, and they provided security to go with him, and the people they provided were not runners, so they couldn't keep up with him.
That's fine. That's not very useful.
No, exactly. So tell me about some of the interesting places you've run.
Well, when I first took the job, when I first became Minister of Environment and Climate Change, you might recall that we were negotiating the Paris Agreement. So my first run as minister outside of the country was in Paris.
Nice.
So that was great, when I was trying to figure out everything I needed to know about these negotiations while running with my chief of staff. But as I say, I try to go for a run wherever I go. So in Ireland, I was in Ireland with the prime minister. I went for a run in Phoenix Park, where we were staying. Wherever I go, including in Canada. It's just, you know what? It's such a nice way to actually figure out what the place is like, because every place is so different. And I'm happy to go in kind of gritty city runs in New York. And also I'm the minister responsible for national parks. So going for a run in a national park is obviously awesome. I've done a number of runs in Banff, one of the most beautiful places to have a run.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find when you travel on business, if you go to a conference or you have a bunch of meetings, often you don't really get to see the city except maybe in the taxi on the way to the airport or something like that. When you go for a run, though, you actually get to explore and see some things you wouldn't see if you were just stuck in meetings all day.
So that is absolutely true. I was in another negotiation in Vienna. And the only time I was there for a really short period of time, the only time I had was to go for a run. And like, you kind of get a sense of the place, you know, a little bit. You get a snapshot, but it was really amazing.
Yeah. And you also see it at a different time. I remember one time I went for a run. It's funny you mentioned Paris, because I often use this example. I was there with my family, but I went early in the morning to go for a run, and I got to see the sunrise and the light hitting the Eiffel Tower at a certain time of the day, and I never saw that the rest of the time I was there. So even though we went to the Eiffel Tower, we went at night or in the afternoon, and it just wasn't the same experience as when I went by on my run.
You know, you're totally right. That really makes me think of a run I did for the G7 Environment Ministers meeting. It was in Toyama, it was amazing, because it was I was running, and I saw, I think it was Sunday morning, very early, and I went by a temple, and I just saw, you know, some elders that were there at the temple. It was very, very quiet, and there were, you know, flags fluttering in the air. It was really actually very peaceful and really beautiful snapshot into this little community. So lots of great things you can do for a run. You often think it's just exercise, but actually it's so much more.
Yeah. And do you find it's good for you mentally as well? Do you do a lot of thinking while you're running? Does it clear your mind?
Yeah, so you know what's funny about running is I never really know what's going to happen. Sometimes I will have like a bad Madonna song, and that's all that's going through while I'm running. Or sometimes I will, be thinking about some issue I've been trying to figure out. Or in my case, you know, how do you talk about climate change to folks and make it real? And you often get these great ideas, because there's so little time in my day, I find, to actually step back and reflect. And so this was my little moment, where it's time all to myself. People aren't interrupting me. There's no phone calls. There's no emails. There's no meetings. And so it's great. I now, though, have taken to running with our dog, Skokie. And that's a whole other experience because Skokie really likes chasing squirrels. So that gets trickier.
Okay, yeah, that's more complicated for sure. That can take you in some unusual directions, I'm sure.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Now, you mentioned the national parks, and that's a whole other level of running to go to some of these places and run on the paths through these parks. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I think that's something more Canadians have to do.
Yeah, and actually, we've been trying to, as a focus with parks, trying to have opportunities for good trails so that folks can get out parks. Like, obviously, there's parks like Banff where it's pretty easy to go for a run, but we have more remote parks. And just having that experience. So we have multi-use trails, so you can go ride your bike or you can go for a run, and you can find them across the country. So we're very lucky to have amazing parks. Now, the one parks you can't run in, actually, are the High Arctic. Those parks are a little bit harder to run in, but you can go for a nice hike there.
Yeah. And so you mentioned you ran in Banff National Park. Anywhere else?
PEI, I've run there. Cape Breton Highlands. I go for a run, and our parks are so different. And Canadians, actually, we love parks. Last year it was free to celebrate Canada 150. We made all our parks and National Historic Sites free.
Yeah.
And we had record number of visitors. And you know what? Almost all of our parks have these trails where you can go to really gorgeous way to really appreciate the natural beauty that we have in Canada. I mean, we are so lucky compared to so many other countries where, you know, they just don't have the open spaces and also the diversity. And that's the thing about Canada. Our parks are chosen because they represent different geographical regions and different kind of ecological regions of the country. So you can see really totally different kinds of places. Like if you go to Haida Gwaii, you know, you're going to see rainforest. And if you go, you know, the High Arctic is going to be different. And if you go out east, so it's great.
All right, let's talk about Ottawa Race Weekend, because I remember running into you at the finish line last year or the year before, and you were running with your daughter, I think, right?
Yeah, so I have three kids, and they all have their own sport, but my middle daughter really likes running. So the first time we ran, I'm trying to think, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and we did the 2K. I think it's 2K.
Yep, the family run.
And
yep.
Now we've moved up to the 5K. So she's 11. We'll get to the 10K at some point, but it's just great. It's just a great way to hang out. She loves it. She likes competing, and so she gets like quite into it. And it's, you know, what I love about the. Just seeing the diversity of body types, but diversity of ages and people from all over the world, and people are so excited. And I'm lucky I've been able to, you know, start the race, like the 10K. And, you know, you just see masses of people who are just really excited to get out there and run. And it makes me happy because we need people to be healthier. And healthier minds and healthier bodies. And so seeing so many people, I think we're, over 40, maybe close to 50,000 people that come out for Ottawa Race Weekend doing all different types of races, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And so you've had the role of officially starting the race. And are you going to participate again this year?
Going to do the 5K again with my daughter. It's our
good
thing. You know, maybe one time I should work out to the marathon. It's the problem is I don't have enough time to train. But maybe a half. Maybe I'll do a half at some point.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you could fit that in. I think you could do it.
If I started training, you know, at 2 a.m. every day, it'd be lots of...
Yeah.
It is amazing, though. It is amazing how many people do, like, train for marathons. And you see people in Ottawa, like, you really see it along the canal, and people are hardcore, like, getting out there even when it's still really cold, because May is pretty early for, you know, for a race, if you're doing a marathon, but people are out there training. It's great.
Yeah, well, you and I had the chance to run together once on a very, very cold day, so I...
It was, how cold was that? that, Mark.
I don't remember. We were covered in layers, and we had frost on our faces when it was over, right? And then you...
We felt good, though. We felt very hardcore.
Yeah, I was very proud that day that we got out there and did it.
Well, it was, you know what, it was really nice of you for you to take me for a run. It was fun. And actually, it's also, I often run alone just because you can just do it any time. And so I will go when the kids are still sleeping in the morning or, as they say, when I'm traveling. But it's nice to go with other people. Just have a bit of a chat, too.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us on the show. And good luck with your daughter in the 5K at Ottawa Race Weekend.
All right. I can't wait. And good luck to you, too. Are you running? What are you running?
I'm running the marathon. And,
oh, you always make me feel so guilty. But that's great. Well, go take it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Bye.
That's Federal Environment Minister Catherine McKenna. Coming up next, the return of Team Purple and the fight against pancreatic cancer. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. I've been interviewing our next guest every year since she started participating in Ottawa Race Weekend. Christina Walker lost her husband very suddenly to pancreatic cancer, and she's been leading a team of runners who are raising money for cancer research ever since. Christina, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mark, for inviting me on your program.
And look, it's become a bit of a tradition, hasn't it? I think we've talked almost every single year since you started running at Ottawa Race Weekend.
We have. You've been so supportive through the Pancreatic Cancer Purple Team, and I really appreciate all your support behind our team.
Well, it's no trouble at all, and it's in such a powerful story, and it's an important one to share. So let's go back over the history of this for those people who don't know your story. How many years ago was it that you started the team?
I started it in 8 years ago, so this will be my eighth year running the Pancreatic Cancer Purple Team.
Okay, and this began because your husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and very soon after that, unfortunately, tragically, passed away, right?
That's correct, yes. My husband was diagnosed, and unfortunately, he only lived 3 months after he was diagnosed.
Yeah, and he was, until then, quite healthy, and he was a runner, but you were not, right?
That's correct. My husband had just turned 50. He would run a 5K at least 4 times a week. He ate well. He never smoked. He occasionally had a drink and, never was really sick in his whole life.
And so this really underscores just how devastating that diagnosis can be and how quite often pancreatic cancer goes undetected for a long time, right?
That's right. My husband actually was a physician for the Canadian Forces military, and he was also ER physician here at the Montfort Hospital. He went to the hospital just because he had a stomach ache and wanted to see what that was all about. Unbeknownst to us, he came home with a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And, like, you know, I've worked in cancer research my whole life, and I've never even heard of pancreatic cancer. And so I was totally shocked. So I said, like, you know, we're going to beat this and stuff. But as he talked to me about what pancreatic cancer was all about, he explained to me that there is no early detection test for this particular cancer. There's no treatment, and there's no cure. And I was in total shock. I could not believe it. Like, you know, this healthy man, and he looked healthy, you know, when you saw him at the time, but all of a sudden he's coming home with this diagnosis, and he was told he had 3 to 6 months to live. As time went on, like, we did some research and discovered, like, in 2017 alone, 5,500 Canadians were diagnosed with pancreatic cancer alone. That's 15 people a day. That's every single day, 15 people are diagnosed with this.
Wow.
And so it's a shocking thing that nobody has heard about it because it's called the silent killer, because you don't realize you even have it until it's already too late. The survival rate is only 8% for 5 years, which is so small. It's the fourth leading cancer-causing death.
Yeah.
And until my husband came home with it, I didn't even know what it was.
So
part of the mandate that I have for running with the group is that we bring awareness to this this pancreatic cancer, and also to bring funds for the Ottawa Hospital through Run for a Reason.
Yeah, and you have raised so much money over the last 8 years. How much is it that you've raised now?
We've raised over $271,000 for the Ottawa Hospital.
Wow, incredible. And let's talk about how this journey began, because as I mentioned, your husband was a runner, you were not, but the following year at Ottawa Race Weekend, after he passed away, you decided you would run.
Yeah, actually, I decided to run in the Army Run after he passed, and thinking, like, you know, this is something he really wanted to do with his family. So in August, I signed up for the 5K. My son and myself and some of my friends ran the 5K with me. And then my friend said, hey, Rattle Me Bones for Ottawa Hospital is going on. Let's run the 10K. And I thought, oh, well, how hard is the 10K? Like, I have never run that far in my whole life. So I ran the 10K. And then pancreatic cancer came and asked me if I would be interested in putting a team together for Run for a Reason, which would be running in the Ottawa Race Weekend in May. And I said, oh, what does that entail? So we talked about it, and I decided, well, let's try this. And this was 8 years ago, and here I am 8 years later, still running, loving every minute of it, and still raising money and awareness for pancreatic cancer through the race.
Yeah, and you've become quite a runner in the meantime. That first year, what did you do, the 10K, am I right?
Yeah, I did the 10, and then 1 year I was silly enough to do the 10K and then the half marathon the next day.
Yep.
And I found that a lot of my team, like anyone who runs with our team, can choose any of the race they want. There's the 2, 5, or 10 on the Saturday. This year is on May 26th, and there's the half and full marathon on the 27th. And you can run any race you want, and you have our team shirt, and we'll be out there supporting every race that our team members are running in. And it's a wonderful, wonderful race to be in. There's so much support given for all runners.
But as I say, you've become quite a runner as a result of this. This is a big part of your life now, isn't it?
Yes, actually, I love running. I didn't realize how much I really missed it. I was in a car accident in November and was unable to run because I had some torn leg muscles, and just got back into March, and I thought, oh my goodness, I can't remember. I never realized how much I really, really missed running. I just love being out there.
Well, good for you.
It's a wonderful sport to be in. Like, you know, it's a great to be outside running.
Yeah, absolutely. And you become involved in the running community, and I've seen you at running events, and so that's a big part of it too. You meet so many great people through running.
I do. I've joined the running room, and I've run with the running room. I've met a lot of friends running. Even in the race weekend, when you're standing in line waiting for your race to start, you chat with all the people around you, and it's a great thing to meet such other people that enjoy running as much.
Tell me a little bit about...
It's a great running community. It's a great running community.
Yeah, it is. And tell me a little bit about how the team has grown over the 8 years.
Oh, the team. Every year, like, we have the new people who join us, as well as the members from before. We accept anyone who'd like to come and join us and run for our cause. We are a great group that support each other. And as I said, each of us run different races. A lot of our runners are doing the 10K, but there's lots of runners in other races, too.
Sure. And how many people, roughly, do you have running with you this year?
This year is a little smaller because of different circumstances. There's about 15, and hopefully there'll be a few more that will join us. As I said, we welcome everyone and anyone who'd like to run.
Yeah.
And also, they could walk in any of the races. For those people who are saying, I'm not, you know, up to running this year, but they're welcome to walk the race also. And it's a welcome thing also in the race weekend.
And you have become part of the Extra Mile crew as well. This is a group of people who go out and support runners in the final stretch before they cross the finish line, make sure they're doing okay, offer them some support and companionship along the way. You did that last year for the first time.
I did, and it was such a rewarding experience. I've met so many wonderful people that are all running for all different reasons. Some have their own personal causes. Some have causes for friends. Some are just like, I met one gentleman who was on his 299th marathon. Like, extraordinary people out there, amazing people to meet, and their stories are also inspiring. I know I have my personal story, but there's so many other stories out there, and all these runners are so incredible, great at sharing, and the XML crew was just a group of people willing to, you know, say, hey, you know, do you want someone to run along with you? Like, you know, we'll run along with you, and, you know, you set the pace and we'll help you and you'll get across the finish line.
So how many different people did you run with last year? And you're just sort of running back and forth, I guess, in the final stretch of the race, right?
That's correct. Well, there's people all along the route of the XML crew, so it depends on where you are stationed and stuff. But I end up running 23 kilometers.
Okay, wow.
Numerous number of people that I talked to and chatted with, and as each person had their different story to share with me, I was just it was such an honor to be able to run with these people and for them to tell me their stories.
Okay, and you're going to be out there again this year.
I will be out there again this year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone on the race course and meeting them.
Yeah, and maybe I'll see you out there because I'm going to be running the marathon, but starting a little bit later than everybody else because I'm doing the television broadcast first, and I'm also trying to draw attention to this theme that I've been talking about people starting from the back of the pack in life, and so I'm doing that in the marathon, but maybe I'll see you somewhere out on the course.
Absolutely. You will see a lot of the Extra Mile crew out there supporting you and everyone else. Like, you know, we don't stop until the last runner gets across that finish line.
Wow. That's a great role to have, and it's one of those roles, I think, where you're doing great things for the runners, and they really appreciate it, but you get something out of it as well, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, them sharing their story is a gift to me, and it keeps me wanting to meet the next person and hear what their story is and to run beside them.
Well,
so
Christina,
for me, it's an honor to run beside someone and them telling me their story.
Yeah, that's so nice. And look, Christina, your story is so powerful. It's amazing what you've done in memory of your husband and to support cancer research and to continue the drive to finding a cure and to improve the odds of pancreatic cancer patients to survive. You've done so much for the cause. I really admire you, and I'm glad we have this tradition of talking every year before Ottawa Race Weekend. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Mark, and thank you once again for inviting me and allowing me to tell my story and to get the message out to others.
That's Christina Walker, who is raising money for cancer research at Ottawa Race Weekend. Coming up next, a former hockey player who's running for concussion awareness. Still pounding the pavement? Ditch the sidewalks and treadmills and take it to the trail with MEC. Head to mec.ca/trailrun to get instant access to pro advice, local run crews, trail-tested gear, and Canada's largest race series. mec.ca/trailrun. Our next guest is going to be running at Ottawa Race Weekend for the Concussion Legacy Foundation of Canada. He's a former Ontario Hockey League player and is now an assistant coach with the University of Ottawa. Brent Sullivan, welcome to iRun Radio.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about your hockey career. You played in the OHL, is that right?
I did. I played for the Sarnia Sting for 4 years in the OHL. From here, actually, in from Parap, Ontario, but was drafted to the Sarnia Sting in the OHL draft. So spent 4 years there. Unfortunately, did not have the best junior career, which was filled with concussions and a lot of injuries. So I ended up going to school for a little bit at Carleton University, where I suffered my last concussion and retired at the age of 22.
Okay, and how many concussions did you have in total?
Well, they're documented 14, so it's quite a large number.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was a streak of about two a season for quite some time. There was a couple seasons where there was more than two, but it got to a point where there was some sensitivity around it. So anytime I would experience any symptoms that could be related to concussions, it was deemed a concussion. I broke my teeth a couple times when that would give you headaches. And so, 14 is a number I've been told, but at the same time, it could be a little less. It definitely is not more than 14, though.
Okay. And can you kind of layer that on top of the timetable of how we came to understand concussions and the protocols and those kinds of things? Because, of course, our understanding of them and our treatment of them and everything has been evolving over the last 10, 15 years, right?
Exactly. So it's been something that's been a major, point of focus for the last 10 years or so. When I was starting the issues with concussions, it was probably around 2006, 2007. So around that time, it was not too much of a main focus. I believe actually Sidney Crosby's first major one was around 2009, if I'm correct. I could be wrong there, but so that was when it became a major talking point in sports, and specifically hockey. So I had already gone through multiple at that point, and so the knowledge wasn't really around it at that time. And by the time I had retired at 22, which was 2012, it was becoming much, a bigger focus. So, in that time frame, there was still a lot of learning. There was learning how to recover properly, what you can do when you're coming back from concussions. And so, I was a part of the learning process, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and you would have been around at a time too when there would have been that inclination towards as soon as you feel like you can get back on the ice, and maybe even if you're still not 100%, you get back out there, right? There was that sort of mentality.
Yeah, it was a tough reality at that point where, especially when you're in the hockey industry, you're always told to try to suck things up and come back quick. And so I was very fortunate to have a great training staff in Sarnia that took very good care of me. But there was definitely some times where there was some inner motivation to try to come back early. Whether that was pressure from outside, I don't think so. I think it was more just the culture and then the way it was at that time. The harsh reality too with junior hockey is that if you're out for a while, you're losing opportunity. And so, I felt when I was younger that if I didn't come back, then, I wouldn't get a look from scouts. I wouldn't even get respect from my own teammates. So it was definitely a tough time. It was during that transition where hockey became a little bit more about, now it's definitely you want to speak out and you want to talk about your injuries and be honest and look to the future rather than just in the moment. And so it was kind of in that transition at that time.
And now you're an assistant coach with the University of Ottawa GGs, so you're still in hockey, which is great.
Yeah, no, I've been very fortunate, actually. Hockey's been my life since I was probably 4 years old. It's been everything I've wanted my life to revolve around, and so I was very fortunate to get to play in the OHL, and a lot of kids would love that opportunity, and that probably paved the way for me to become a good coach. I learned a lot. Even with all the injuries I had to look at the game differently, and so pretty much from the day that I stepped away from hockey, I've been coaching ever since. I've been very fortunate to get opportunities right away. And the University of Ottawa, I'm so fortunate to be coaching in my home city with a newly built program, and it's been a blast so far. So
good for you.
We're hoping to continue there. Yeah.
And when did you take up running?
I used to be a runner when I was younger. I've done 5Ks. I've done 10Ks. My family used to run quite a bit, so it was something that I had done before. Now, it was something I had not done recently at all. Basically, from the last concussion, which I got in a car accident in March of 2015, I had barely done any physical activity. So when I believe it was June of 2017 rolled around, that was when I decided to try to change my life, I guess you could say. And it was right after the race day. So the races were all posted on Twitter. People were posting their success stories. And I guess you could say I kind of drank the Kool-Aid of that. So I wanted to be a part of it. So it's just under a year now that I've done this whole Run Sully Run journey. And it's helped me drastically.
Okay. So you were kind of sucked into it by Ottawa Race Weekend and seeing people talk about Ottawa Race Weekend.
Yeah, I've actually participated in the Race Weekend before, and it's such a cool atmosphere being downtown, especially if we're going to be, blessed with a nice day, just the beautiful scenery we have down there. And so I've done the 5K, I believe, on Ottawa Race Day. I don't think I've done the 10, but I've got to see the actual weekend, and it's incredible. So it was right around that time where I started, I wasn't feeling too great, and I wanted to make a change, and I started seeing the tweets and all these posts about people's success stories and the half marathon's being done, the marathon's being done. And I was thinking to myself that, I wanted to make a change. And at that time, I had no physical symptoms anymore of my lingering concussion. So I knew it was more of just a mental battle and a motivation that I needed. And so I decided to throw in some runners and get going. And it became quite the journey it's been for the last, almost that 12 months here. So that's how it started.
So how has the training gone as you've ramped up towards a half marathon?
It's been a challenge. I've never done a half before. I think the furthest I had ever ran was about 12 kilometers prior to this. So there's quite a significant difference between 12 and 21. A lot of people will probably say that. And the ones that run 42, I couldn't even imagine. So it's been quite a process. I started out by doing this couch to 10K philosophy is what it was. And it's something I found on the internet. And so 11 months ago, I started by running 1 minute on and 3 minutes off. And that's what it started at. And now we're 2 weeks away from running for hopefully around 2 hours straight. So it's been quite a fun process. The winter months were challenging, trying to get out in the cold, which I'm sure everyone else has experienced as well. And the start of it was really fun. I got to take my two dogs with me for most of it. So I ran with my 4-year-old golden retriever and then my 7-year-old border collie. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to race weekend.
Okay, and you are raising money for the Concussion Legacy Foundation of Canada. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so when I decided to do this Run, Sully, Run, it started off more of just kind of a self-accountability is what I wanted to do. I started off by just posting on Facebook saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to run. I would love your support. And then when I started getting more support, I thought to myself, I'd love to make this bigger. So obviously with my link to concussions and what I've seen, the true effects of what all these concussions can do to you, I was an avid follower of Chris Nowinski and the Concussion Legacy Foundation. And I'd always followed his posts. So I decided to reach out to them and said, hey, I'd like to raise money. If it's a possibility, let's do this. And so that's kind of how it grew. And it grew pretty quickly. In all honesty, I never expected it to get to a point where I'd have all these interviews and media requests and such. But it's been fantastic. So it's been a great year. I've appreciated all the support from everybody who have donated or even just shown the support towards my run. It's been fantastic.
And tell me a little bit about what the foundation does.
Well, they're raising awareness, locally here in Ottawa. It's pretty well known, the Rowan Stringer story. So they're trying with Rowan's Legacy Project to raise awareness and do research on concussions. And I know CTE is a big common talking point now. My involvement with them directly, I'm more of just an ambassador. So I'm just out there trying to preach concussion recovery, trying to show more of a positive spin story. Theirs is much more in depth, all the research that they do. But they just branched out to Ottawa here with the foundation. They have somebody named Samantha Bureau who's out here locally here in Ottawa who works for the foundation. And that's how I was put in contact with her, just being local here. My involvement, again, on more of the side of the ambassador and just trying to represent a positive story here.
And how has your health been through all of this? You're someone who has had 14 concussions, give or take. Do you still have any symptoms or are you pretty much okay now?
Well, the physical side of things, I'm good. So as far as the headaches, nausea, dizziness that came along with concussions back through junior hockey, I'm good. I have no more symptoms there, which is fantastic. What was really getting to me by the time I probably hit 23, 24, 25 in that age range was the mental health side of things. I was really trying, really struggling with depression. I was really struggling with anxiety, some panic attacks, and just things were really, really kicking at me. So I've been very fortunate lately to be essentially, I don't want to say over the mental health side of things because it will always still be there, but I definitely can tell you the depression's no longer around. The panic attacks don't happen. The anxiety is there a little bit, but it's definitely contained. And I think, honestly, that just comes with the physical exertion that you go through. It's been an absolutely incredible year as far as the recoveries have gone. I don't want to say I'm cured, but I definitely know that I'm doing better.
And you've started to enjoy the running?
Yeah. there's a limit to the amount of kilometers where I think I get past that enjoyment feeling. But, especially with the beautiful weather we've had lately, it's been great running weather lately. I'm hoping for the same kind of weather on race day. But it's been something where, I found an enjoyment in it. It's no longer, I don't have to kick myself to get out and run anymore. I've been pretty avid with it. I've been pretty structured with the plan, and it's been enjoyable. But again, there's probably a limit where I'm saying, okay, I'm having a blast. There's a certain kilometer where I say, what the heck am I doing? But it's still fun.
Well, good for you. Listen, I'm really glad to hear that you're doing so well, despite the fact that you've had so many concussions and that you've overcome some of the challenges and health issues that you've faced. And it's really remarkable that not just that you're running, but that you're doing this to support the Concussion Legacy Foundation. I think that's terrific. So I wish you the best of luck, and thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Mark.
That's Brent Sullivan, who's an assistant hockey coach at the University of Ottawa. Coming up on next week's show, more incredible stories of runners doing amazing things, including a father and son running together to fight diabetes. And in 2 weeks, we'll be joined by Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan, who runs at some strange times, as we find out in the next issue of IRA. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.